Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Dan, and it is just a pleasure being here again and seeing everyone here. If you would open up your Bibles, we will be looking at Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. It is the whole chapter of that of Zechariah chapter 3. It'll also be on the screen behind me. Please follow along as I read, and then we'll jump in to God's Word. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed with filthy garments. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Remove the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed them with garments. And the angel of the Lord was standing by. The angel of the Lord solemnly assured Joshua, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then you shall rule my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you the right of access among those who are standing here. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, you and your friends who sit before you, for they are men who are a sign. Behold, I will bring my servant the branch, for behold, on the stone that I have set before Joshua, on a single stone with seven eyes, I will engrave its inscription, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of this land in a single day. In that day, declares the Lord of hosts, every one of you will invite his neighbor to come under his vine and under his fig tree." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Thanks be to God. How much thought do you put into the clothes that you wear? How much time do you put into thinking about what you put on? Because maybe for some of you, you are the type of person the night before who takes your time to pick out the outfit, every piece, the top, the bottom, the shoes, the socks, to make sure that you do not mix together a striped shirt with a plaid jacket, for example. Maybe you're the type that on the morning of, you're just digging in your closet and you just pull out whatever shirt you could find, maybe a hoodie because it's getting a little colder, and then you can go about on your day. Maybe there's a third group of you that take after Steve Jobs or the current wave of minimalism, where your entire wardrobe is just a black turtleneck and blue jeans, and that's all that you wear, so that you don't have to think about what you wear for a second. How much time do you put into what you wear? You know, I ask this because whether we think so or not, clothes matter in our culture. You see, there's this author by the name of Dr. Jennifer Baumgartner who wrote a book in 2012, and it was titled, "You Are What You Wear." See, this book is making the case that the clothes that you wear are more than just pieces of cloth strung together to cover your body. It actually might say something more about what goes on underneath. Baumgartner argues that some of the reasons why some of the ways that you dress affect how you look, whether you try to dress older or younger. She's trying to unpack why do people try to do that. She's trying to understand why are people so obsessed with designer clothing, or she's trying to understand what the number of clothes in your closet say about you. So what do your clothes say about you? What does it say about your values, your aesthetics, your identity? Do you identify too much with what you wear? You know, would you believe that even more than pop culture, actually the Bible also cares about clothes? You see, the prophet Zechariah is writing to talk about the connection between clothes and our spirituality, about how what you clothe yourself with, maybe even in a metaphorical sense, that gives insight to your relationship with God himself. That is what Zechariah is showing us in this chapter of his book. And so we'll look into this chapter in three points. One, clothed in guilt. 2, clothed in Christ, and 3, clothed in community. First, clothed in guilt. To get a sense about what is going on in this vision, you need to understand a little bit about the history of Israel, the nation. You see, Zechariah was a prophet during the time when Israel was actually conquered by a foreign nation, by Babylon. See, Babylon conquered Israel, exiled them from their land, and now, after decades of living in a land that was not their own, Israel was free to go back into their homeland. And so as this chapter opens up, you see one key figure, Joshua, the high priest, and he is standing in the throne room of God. And as a high priest, he was someone serving in the temple, and he had a special role. He was the mediator. He was the messenger between God and his people, and the people Israel. And now given the setting that they were in, since there was no king to represent all of Israel, Joshua bared that weight on himself. He was a representative. So you see, this vision is not just about some guy named, some guy named Joshua, but it was about the relationship between God and all of his people seen in this instance between God and Joshua. But in this vision, you see another person before the angel of the Lord. We see in verse 1, then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan was standing at his right hand to accuse him. To fill this picture out a little bit further, he says in verse 3, now Joshua was standing before the angel clothed in filthy garments. Now, this was not just a matter of personal hygiene. It was not that he just left last night's ketchup stain on his shirt and he just pulled it over this morning and came before the throne room. It was not just a thrifted pair of parachute pants that have holes on the side. You see, when Joshua came before the throne of God in unclean and filthy garments, it had spiritual meaning. It was showing that before God, Joshua stood unclean, which meant that he was unfit to be in the presence of God. Joshua, robed in filthy garments, he was unfit as a priest. And because he was Israel's representative, it showed that Israel, all of God's people, they were unclean and they fell short of God's good standards. This is why Satan was accusing Joshua. Satan was not just making baseless accusations. There was a clear marker of guilt. Think about it this way. As you grow up in elementary school, and maybe as you grow up throughout school, there is that proverbial pink slip. Maybe it's a different color, but as you grow up, you know that there is that office referral that the teacher might just whip out if you have done something wrong. If you have done something really bad, it would be stained forever on your permanent record. And of course, uncleanness is a little bit more nuanced because it's not just about guilt, it involved shame. This is just to show that Israel's permanent record, the clothing that they wore, it was stained. And it wasn't just one stain. It wasn't just two. It was generations and generations of sin and failure. See, that is why the exile, that is why they were conquered in the first place. They were clothed in their guilt and shame, and now, as Satan was in the throne room of God with him, they were accused for it. When we look at Joshua and his filthy garments, as we look at his unclean state, it should cause us to slow down and think about ourselves. How are we, individually and even as a community, dealing with the guilt or shame that we have in our own lives? You see, it might not be the voice of Satan himself, but there are all voices around us. You see, there could be external voices from the people we know, or even the voices of our inner thoughts. These voices accuse us, or they expose our guilt and shame, our failures, our insecurities. So how do you respond when they come? Maybe for some of you, the answer is denial. There is a way that we try to clothe ourselves. We look to our status, our success in school or in our extracurriculars or in the things that we do in our workplace, etc., etc. Maybe it is the accrual of things as we try to gain more and gain more to show off and say, no, 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 you have it all wrong. I'm actually good enough. I have value before God and before others. Maybe for some of you, you feel exposed and you feel laid bare. You acknowledge your failures and feel the shame, and that weight of accusation is crushing your soul. Maybe sometimes it is a both and, where you simultaneously try to deny and cover up, yet on the inside you feel the weight of the accusations piling upon you. Still, maybe there are maybe some of you sitting here thinking, relationship with God, that is not even something on my radar. What is the big deal about unclean clothes in a seemingly distant and faraway deity? Maybe you're just so preoccupied that spirituality is not even on your mind. To that third group, I want to say, we're glad that you're here, and we're glad that you're listening. But a question and a challenge that I have for you, and for all of you actually, is this. What are some of the standards you live by? It might not even be a biblical one, that's okay. But at the end of the day, you will always hold yourself to a standard. And so what is it? What are the accusations that come with those standards? See, these voices escape no one, whether you are just someone struggling through public school or whether you're working through the workplace, or maybe if you're someone famous. You see, even Joseph Gordon-Levitt, he was in an interview, and he was talking about his days as he was starting to produce his own movies. And when he was writing his script for one of his first movies, there was this inner voice in his head that he was saying, that he remembered and he recounted. There's this inner voice that said, this is a waste of time. Just give up. No one is immune from accusations. And that is because of the reality that this world is broken. We are broken people. Our inward being is broken as a result of what the Bible calls sin. And so we cannot escape it. And as we are wrestling with our failures, our sins, or even instances of being sinned against and shamed, where can we turn to for help? In this passage, there is great hope, because the voice of Satan proper is not the only voice in the throne room of God. The inner voice of accusations are not the only voice in the throne room of your heart. Though you may stand unclean, there is an interjection. The voice of God enters through as we are clothed in Christ. You see in verse 2, the voice of God speaking. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? God interrupts because God himself enters in to cleanse Joshua the priest. God himself will clear the guilt of his people. You see a picture of this in verses 4 through 6. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, remove the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. And the angel of the Lord was standing by. You see, God interjects, and he not only stops the accusations, but he removes all reasons to be accused. Joshua's status before God is now clear, and so then God commands Joshua towards obedience. And I want to emphasize the order here. First, he cleansed, and then he commanded. First, he cleansed, then commanded. Let me put it this way. So part-time that I do outside of ministry is working at Starbucks. And while I'm working at Starbucks, there is a checks and balances to make sure that you are maintaining a clean store, and that is done through a group called the Quality and Safety Assurance, or we like to just call them QASA. You see, when this quasi-personnel comes by, they come in a bright blue button-down shirt. And you know, as they have clipboard in hand, when you see that shade of blue coming in through the door, you quickly run to the sink and wash your hands for 20 seconds. You quickly clean everything around on the counter. You make sure it is spotless. And you always look over your shoulder to make sure that that person is watching you to show that you are doing a good job. You're always watching your back to make sure that he does not mark you down. Because you see, when Quaza comes in, if they rate your store low enough, you will be closed down and you'll be reprimanded. And so you're always trying. You're always furiously washing your hands. You're always trying to make sure that everything is up to safety standards. Praise be to God that he does not work like Quaza. You see, the answer to the accusations that you feel and you hear in your life, it is not to fix yourself up before God or to watch your back so you do not mess up again. It is that God comes in and cleanses you. God first declared Joshua, the brand plucked from the fire. He was saved. God, through the angel, removed the filthy robes and placed new robes over Joshua. And like a ceremony to reinstitute this priest, the angel crowns Joshua with a turban, one with the inscription, "Holy to the Lord." What was once unclean is now clean. And it is only after that, after the ceremony is finished, then the angel responds, "If you walk in my ways and keep in my charge, then you will rule my house and have my charge in my courts." You see, our obedience is not to be saved. It is a response because we are saved. Here we see a vision of Joshua and therefore all of Israel being restored through the changing of clothes. His guilt and shame is no more. The accusations are silenced. And for us today, we are offered a similar sense of cleansing and a similar hope. We can be brought into God's story of redemption to find an answer to the accusations we face. We see this in verses 8 through 9. The angel speaks of a sign, the servant who is the branch. There is someone else on the way. "Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your friends who sit before you, for they are men who are assigned. Behold, I will bring my servant, the branch. For behold, on the stone that I have set before Joshua, on a single stone with seven eyes, I will engrave its inscription, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of this land in a single day." We have a similar hope. It is a much better, much more secure, much more eternal hope because this servant that is coming, the better Joshua, Jesus Christ himself, he came down as a high priest for us. His robes were never stained. There was no pink slip, no office referral in his permanent record. He was the perfect priest who followed the will of the Father, and in a single day, he defeated the accusations of Satan. He silenced him. He silenced the guilt. He silenced the shame. What are the lies that you hear in your life? That you've messed up one too many times. That you are not smart enough. That you are not skilled enough or beautiful enough or desirable enough. To that, God interjects. He has a word for you. He says, "You are my daughter, my son, my child, with whom I am well pleased." That is because when the Father looks at us, he sees his Son. Jesus Christ silenced Satan once and for all on the day that he was crucified. And on that day, he represented us. You see, he took our filthy robes, he took our sin, and he cleared us of our guilt by nailing it onto the cross. On his hands and feet were engraved, once and for all, the forgiveness that is offered to you by faith. By his wounds, you are healed. And even more, he gives you new clothes. So in a sense, you are what you wear. By faith, we receive his perfect standing with the Father, in biblical terms, righteousness. He clothes us with it so that in the eyes of God, you are not just a clean slate, you are perfect. Nothing can take that away. You now wear Jesus' perfection. That is because Jesus Christ and his salvation is the rock on which God's people are established. And we are secure under his watch. You see, when it talks about the seven eyes in verse 9, it is not that God is some big brother watching over us. He is not some quality and safety assurance personnel watching over us. He is the loving Heavenly Father who is perfectly watching over his children and protecting them. That is the hope that we have as a Christian community clothed in Christ. And so now here is how we can live clothed in community. Firstly, you have freedom to share honestly. See, when you are in your Bible studies, when you have your small groups, when you have time to share and fellowship with one another, how honest are you? How vulnerable are you? Do you try to puff yourself up to make yourself look good? Do you avoid sharing the bad things in your life to save face? Can you instead live as a community liberated by the clothing that Jesus gives you? That you could freely share your brokenness with one another, knowing that in Christ you are healed, you are restored, you are renewed, and you are perfect. There's nothing to be ashamed of anymore. So now, can we freely share? Can you, on the other hand, also respect one another, that you can listen and love instead of being a source of gossip and imitating the voice of the accuser? As we share honestly in community, can we both hear in faith and share in faith? Secondly, we have freedom to share outwardly. You know, as we look at verse 10, as it says, "In that day, declares the Lord of hosts, every one of you will invite his neighbor to come under his vine and under his fig tree." It is pointing to us a future. You know, one day we will dwell in harmony with God and with one another. But though that day is not fully here yet, this is also a challenge to us to live in a way that shares the goodness of Jesus with the world around us. Even as Pastor Arthur prayed just before this sermon, he was praying that we can share the gospel to those in our community. Can we continue thinking about how that we could share about this Jesus Christ who not only clothes us, but can clothe those, anyone who comes to him in faith? Can we put on that armor of God as we have also heard in the scripture reading earlier? Being protected against the lies of the evil one, yes, but also moving forward, recognizing that there is more to life than just our personal well-being, that we are entering into God's story of redemption as he's not renewing just us, but the whole world around us as well. As we are clothed in Christ, let us come together to be a respite from the lies of sin, to be a community that moves forward, continually turning to the loving Father who clothes us with Christ's perfection. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, all around us, there are voices that tell us how we should clothe ourselves, what is valuable, what is good. Yet those things do not satisfy. Those things cannot quell the voices of the accuser. They cannot quell the voices in our own heart. But God, you can, and you do. So let us turn to you in faith, recognizing that, God, we do not have to work our way up to you, but instead trust in the reality that, God, you came down to us. You cleansed us. You healed us. You'd restore us. And God, let us look forward to that day when the voices are fully silent and when we will be with you forever in perfect harmony. Amen.